here for the podcast One Health Research in Greifswald. My name is Franziska and I am part of the university communication team, and we are more than happy to welcome today Dr. Sebastian Calvignac-Spencer from the Robert Koch Institute in Berlin. We would like to ask him a couple of questions about his CV and about current research questions when it comes to epidemiologic circumstances. Dear Sebastian, hello. It's very nice to have you here.
Hi, thank you for having me here.
Okay, I might introduce you. So you were born in France in 1981, and you're now living and working as a scientist in Berlin. How exciting is that? How is living in Berlin as a researcher in these days?
Well, it's quite nice. It's been quite a while that I've been living in Berlin. It's more than 12 years now that I moved with my family. And yeah, Berlin is a great place to live with a family, but also to do research. There are tons of interesting stuff happening on the research scene, and of course over the last few months and even years we've come to work a lot on actuality as well, right? So with the current pandemic,
a very important question to me and maybe to our audience: what does it take to become a scientist at the Robert Koch Institute? What do we have to do to be in your place, like in 20 years' time?
Well, I mean, I would say, okay, so you have to be sort of okay at school, right? And then to have a lot of good luck, right? Because it's I'm personally a strong proponent of the idea that many people would deserve to become scientists, but the job market is such a small one that it's just not possible. So you can do everything you want to become a scientist and everything that should be done, but in the end you just don't have the luck to become one. So I feel very, very much privileged to have this position as a permanent scientist, especially under the current circumstances where I see many young colleagues that have very hard times finding jobs.
And I'm like, what does it need to study, to work in such an interdisciplinary area? Do I need to become a biologist, or do I need to study chemistry, or or become a doctor? What would be the best to reach my goal to work at the RKI in Berlin?
So there are many different ways to work at the RKI, because the people work in many different disciplines. So there are pharmacists, there are medical doctors, there are biologists. I'm personally a biologist. Biology, I think, is a very good introduction to all different problems that we might have to deal with when we want to understand life in general, of course, but in particular some aspects of life like human health, right? So I think that biology is a nice lead-in, but I'm very much biased, of course. And in my case, I studied biology, so I studied, so there are specialties in biology, of course, as well. And so I focused on microbiology and evolutionary biology and ecology. And so I've been lucky enough to be able to combine all that into my current work as well.
Well, you focused on viral evolution and epidemiology of highly pathogens. Well, that sounds very dangerous and risky. How do you deal with that? What does a normal day in the office, or like when you go on a trip to Africa, what does a normal day look like?
Well, for me, a normal day looks like a very normal day at the office, because I'm actually not a field scientist. I'm mostly based in the lab and doing computational work using sequences that we generate from these pathogens. So we try to sequence their genomes. Many people in the lab, do spend quite some time, in particular in sub-Saharan Africa. Many of our students, actually most or even all of our students, spend some time in different countries there, to obtain samples from animals and from humans. And so they have a much more exciting life than mine, that's sure. But it's not a dangerous life. So people are very well trained. They also come from different backgrounds. So we have veterinarians. Sometimes we also have medical doctors. We have biologists. And they're specifically trained to deal with what they have to do on site, you know, when they have to sample a carcass from an animal found in the rainforest. They don't do that randomly or like they would feel they would do it, but we have like really clearly identified procedures to make this kind of work safe work, because we think that it's worth the minor risks that it might still entail. So they do that, and until now we've been happy to never have any problem.
Okay, so for people like me, that as I said sounds really like very risky and dangerous, but nevertheless very interesting though, because it's a very certain kind of research field that more and more came like to everybody's life during the last 2 years due to the coronavirus. And I guess most of the people didn't know what the RKI was 2 years before, and now everybody is very much into the corona rates, and it's always in the news. So we in Greifswald are very much looking forward to the upcoming conference, the One Health conference in Greifswald. When was the first time that you ever heard about the concept of One Health research in general?
Yeah, it was maybe maybe 15 years ago, something like that. So it had gained momentum. There had been like multiple outbreaks of importance. So the first SARS coronavirus, for example, that had triggered, some more acute realization that human health was strongly determined, and he's strongly determined by many other factors that do not fall into under the traditional umbrella of medical activities. Right, and in particular by our relationship with the natural world around us, and so these ideas have been around for say two decades or something like that, and they've always been a topic of attention for specific communities. So like the one I belong to, disease ecologists and disease evolutionary biologists have for long thought in this way that we need to adopt integrated perspectives if we want to understand how human health evolved and is still evolving, because of course it's a continuous process. We did not stop it just because we had modern medicine, right? So yeah, it's been a concept that has been sort of at the core of much of my research since a long time already.
May I ask a provocative question? And the question is, for you as a researcher, is it kind of good that the coronavirus came up 2 years ago to keep the idea of One Health research into the people's mind and to give them an idea of how important the research field is?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's both a provocative and not a provocative question, because of course, you know, like it's like so many other things which are determined by the actuality, right? So who talks about Ukraine usually, you know? And at the moment, we're all talking about it. And it's good because it raises important questions, and that's the same here. So what I would like would be that we have less of a stop and go approach to this problem specifically. So the problems linked to our relationship to the natural environment, and that it is not something that comes as pulses linked to crisis, but that rather we consider it in general. And that's a big part of the One Health concept as it is currently being promoted by many people, that this should become part of our casual research activities as they are supported permanently by politics in particular.
I know, because I've read that, and I know Fabian Lenders, that you both have been working together previously. What did you do? There's the Lenders Lab you've been working on together. Is there anything, like, what's important for an audience that is not into the research thing? What's good to know for us about your working together with Fabian Lenders, who is the announced founding director of the Greifswald One Health Institute?
Yeah, I've been working very closely with Fabian, and actually Fabian is the reason I moved to Berlin. I moved to Berlin to join his lab, and we've been working and actually sharing office. So the office from which I'm talking to you right now is the office I shared with Fabian for many years. So since 12 years, we have been working very closely together. I think that one of the reasons why I stuck around so long with Fabian is that we established sort of a very good synergy between different disciplines and different ways to practice science, you know. So Fabian is a veterinarian, I'm a biologist. And for many things, we've been working very complementarily. So I have more interest towards like questions which relate to what happened in the past, evolutionary questions, and how this can help us understand what happens right now. And Fabian is much more hands-on about what happens right now, right? So he's doing a lot of disease ecology, outbreak investigations, and in many of these cases, evolutionary approaches are useful, so I give a hand, and reciprocally, having this ecological perspective on, well, including them in my more evolutionary oriented questions, is very, very good. So we've been working a lot together, and we go on working together. At the moment, I actually lead the group at RKI that he founded, and that now he left to found the new institute in Greifswald.
Do we have the chance in Greifswald to welcome you here, apart from the conference, meaning that you take a role in the new One Health Institute? Is there any chance for us?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. I would be glad to join the institute. It's still in the makings. But if I have the opportunity, of course, I would like to go on and work very closely with Fabian and the team. So yeah, that's in the plans, hopefully.
Okay, we should be very lucky then. Question about the conference. You are one of the announced keynote speakers. What can we expect from your keynote speech? What will your keynote speech be about? Will you give us some insights in advance?
Yeah, sure. So as I was just mentioning, well, my fun is in trying to understand what happened in the past, right? Assuming that we can learn a lot from the past. So you just mentioned that you are an art historian by training. So I don't have to convince you that understanding what happened in the past is interesting from many different perspectives. And that's also the case for the evolution of human health and understanding how human health has been determined by things that we would typically consider like external factors, so emergence from pathogens, from wildlife, from domestic animals. Understanding when this happened, whether this correlated with important changes in the ecology of humanity as a whole. These kind of things, they can all bring interesting lessons about human health in general and pandemics in particular. So if you think of the current pandemic, that has rekindled interest into past pandemics as well, for very good reasons, and that's also a topic that that I investigate. So we have projects in my group on the Spanish flu, for example, the very large flu pandemic that struck the world in 1918-1919, and so on and so forth. So my talk will be mainly about what we can learn from evolutionary studies at different scales. So thinking about things that happened in the very distant past, you know, like, okay, 1 million years ago, before we were even the species that we are currently, what was happening in our lineage, you know? And also about the very recent past, the past that determined a lot of the pathogens that still circulate today. Because the flu that circulates today is a direct descendant of the flu from that appeared with the Spanish flu.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sébastien. We are at the end of our podcast, and I'm very excited to get to know you at the end of April for our conference in Greifswald, and I hope that our audience is also much more excited now. Thank you very much for taking your time, and see you soon in Greifswald.
Yeah, thank you for hosting me.